Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Life and Love. It is your host, Q Speaks. So thankful that we made it to another wonderful Saturday. So first, let me thank you for tuning in to pick up a few gems on this Saturday afternoon. Life and Love here on Blog Talk Radio. It's all about getting your best life without approval and living it to the best of your ability. The best part is we are doing it together. We are learning things. I'm learning. I'm hosting and sharing all the great knowledge and resources that I gain and what I've learned so that hopefully someone else that is going through out here knows that they're not alone, and hopefully you can experience and catapult yourself more quickly to that next level, that place that you want to be. So I have been doing this series called It's All in Your Head. I am so excited about it because it is life. Everything starts in your head. It's a thought. I've heard so many ways of saying it. Joyce Meyer would say, you know, stinking thinking. Yes, thank you guys. Stinking thinking, that just hinders everything. You want to speak positive. You want to put out that goodness so that you can get that back. And the more that you say things and more that you do things, it becomes a habit. You need to start believing things, but you have to first hear them, and you hear them in your head first, and then you speak them. So that's where we are. Everything starts in your head. Before the series launched, I shared one of my Q Speaks gems, and it was, we have to be selective about whom we share our brilliance and our resourcefulness with. And that is because everyone is not meant to catch your flight. You can't take everyone with you. And sometimes that gift of discernment, we don't have that. We don't always know who should be benefiting from the goodness that we have. We're so eager to say, yes, I can do that for you. Yes, I'm available. And what are you getting in return? Are you being left depleted, without energy, without inspiration? People want to get together and meet with you, but it's okay that you are this light, this beacon of light and hope and inspiration for others, but you owe it to yourself to be surrounded by people who give you that as well. And life is too short to not want that for yourself. Because once you've realized that you haven't been getting that, there is a chance, just a small window of opportunity for you to feel bad and on yourself. And then that's called condemnation. You don't want to be your worst enemy. You don't want to be beating up on yourself. You want to root for yourself. You want to say, you know what? I didn't know that then. I know this now. I'm going to do better. That's the thinking. It's all in your head. When you know better, you should do better. At least you should want to. It starts with a desire. So that's where we are. This series, I'm still super, super excited. So shortly, I am going to be joined by Mitchell Levy. I'm so excited about it. He's my special guest today. We're talking about sharing tools for, I don't know if everyone is familiar with the term thought leadership, but to put it more in your everyday use, thought leadership is reigning prevalent throughout business. But when you scroll social media, you're thinking influencers, right? Influencers in fashion, influencers in food, and it's just lifestyle in general. So we're going to be talking about those tools, sharing with you. He's going to explain what thought leadership is. Not only that, he is an amazing author. He's going to share with us the tools for anyone who wants to write a book. And we're going to talk about effectively managing social media content, right? So the biggest goal here is to awaken that thought leader within. I can't wait to start this conversation with Mitchell. So, again, he'll be joining me very shortly. So to go back into It's All in Your Head, this week, I hope everyone had a phenomenal week. It's very important that when we start the day, that we start it with an attitude and affirmations. My book was entitled I Am Queen, an Affirmation for Every Woman. Everything should begin with that. You have to affirm things. And you need to repeat them so that it can become a belief, so that you can then begin to operate that way. It will start in the mind so that your body can follow. And the intention of being your best self should be at the top of your list of things to do. Some people wait for milestones. I could say I waited until I turned 40. We turn 20 and 30 and 35 and so on. Or we wait till some major life event or tragedy happens or takes place before we realize that we should be giving ourselves our best on a daily. We have people who depend on us. We should want to remember the key thing that if we're not here, life is going to go on. So if you're not here, someone else will be there, or that person will fend for themselves. Either way it goes, life happens, life changes, nothing lasts forever. So we need to cherish every moment. We need to cherish the gift of life, the life that we have. We need to have faith. We need to understand that things work out for the best. So today, to open this up, because this is a wonderful open door, I think this show is going to bring some enlightenment and just a different perspective as to how you approach what you do daily, whether you already have a business or are looking to start one, whether you're just at home, if you are a caregiver. Taking care of home is a big business. Parenting is a humongous job. So whatever it is that you do in your day-to-day living, it's important to think about the way that you think, right? Think about how you think. I said it. Makes sense to me. It will make sense to you if it doesn't at this moment, trust me. What we don't want to do is become lost in translation. We don't want to put emphasis on the things that we don't have, worrying about where it is that we want to be and we're not there, and becoming more grateful in the now, because our best life should be every moment and we should be the ones defining it. That's where we are. It starts in your head. In your head, you should be laying the groundwork and having that vision of what it is that you see for yourself and your life today, not just tomorrow. For me, it starts with peace. It starts with not being overwhelmed. It starts with being positive. It starts with shutting the world out. Some people may take offense to being shut out, but if me shutting you out is best for me, I'm going to do what's best for me. Again, there is no need to make apologies for doing what's best for you, because your best self is important. Clearly, it has been underrated for so long, being your best self, and that's all you see now. My best life, get your best life. I don't care what you have to hashtag so that you can gather all that great content and use it to reference, to keep yourself positive. Do that. Seek the positive. Don't let your social media feed be negative. You can tweak what you follow so that you're getting that good energy and that good knowledge. It's about your thinking. So whatever you're seeing, it's getting into your mind. And subconsciously, you're playing these things over and over in your head, whether it sparked an emotion of sadness or anger or just whatever. Feed yourself positivity all the time, all the time. And like I was saying, for me, I have to get by myself to do that, because my life is very full, very, very full for me, not necessarily for the other person. But my fool is a real fool to me, and I need all the best energy, all of the best cue that I can be every freaking day. So this note I want to share before I move right into bringing on Mitchell is this. Let's not just be grateful and ecstatic and overjoyed for those doors that open. Let's be equally excited, grateful, and thankful for those doors that closed. Because believe me, you don't want to be walking through a door nothing but your worst, just as much as you're thankful for those that open. Because in the end, it all works out for your best interest, for the betterment of all. Okay? So, it's all in your head. Part two, we know that your thoughts are powerful, and we are going to turn those power thoughts into power moves. All right, everybody, welcome me in joining, and sorry, help me, join me in welcoming Mitchell Levy. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, nice to be here. Thanks for having me. Nice upfront comments.
Are you there? We're having little connection issues. I'm just wanting to make sure that you're there with me. Can you hear me okay?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Yeah, every now and then you cut out. So probably in your section, probably about two or three times, it was about 5 seconds where you disappeared. But hopefully you could hear me.
Yeah, I'm like, Spike, not today. This is so exciting. Don't do it. But yes, I can hear you. So thank you so much for joining us today here on Life and Love. How are you this Saturday?
Oh, it really is. It truly is a beautiful day. I'm in Northern California, Silicon Valley. The sun is shining. People are walking. it's beautiful.
Oh, gosh. Okay, wonderful. So I'm so happy that you found me and super, super grateful. You know, your interest alone in this platform and your appearance today, it just to support and encouragement, right? So let's give the listeners now an overview about you, Mitchell. Who
so
is Mitchell Levy?
Sure. So overview is one thing because people take the business view, but you say, who am I? Well, that's a different thing, right? So family man, married for 29 years, son of 20 years old, just went back actually yesterday to college for his junior year. We take for fun and for focus, we take 1 month a year holiday. So we got back and we spent the month of June in Edinburgh, and it's a great way to focus yourself. And for me, it helps me decide where I'm spending my energy and where I need to not spend energy, right? And what am I not doing that I need to? So it's not that annual end of year planning. It's just that strategy side. Am I doing the right stuff?
Yeah.
On a business wise, what I'd say, I'll start with 7 seconds. I empower experts, thought leaders, and corporations to share their genius. And the interesting part there is that everyone has a unique genius that should be shared. And I think, as you mentioned, not everyone's ready to share. So there are times where it's not appropriate to interact with someone like me or to share your genius. But when you get focused, when you're ready, when you want to, when you need to, let the world know that you are an expert to solve a particular problem for them. That's what we do. And at the short answer, and I think we mentioned it before, I basically do a 2-hour interview with an expert. And I have a team of ghostwriters I sent through writing school who actually then write a book. And so now, you know, it's almost your snap your fingers and you have one asset, probably the most important asset that will give you credibility as an expert. And so who am I? I love finding people's expertise, their talent, their genius. And in many cases, they've seen it themselves. And in some cases, they're just, you know how things are. We're all so general in what we do and we could solve so many different things, and every now and then somebody needs the, hey, you know, if you just focused in this direction, it would bring you something else. And so that's
what
I do.
Absolutely. I thought it was a Libra thing this whole time. It's not just me. Okay, it's so great to know. I'm like, hey, what's happening with this retrograde? No, this is a real serious thing here. We do get scattered, and we can get overwhelmed, I think. So, and I think that's what happens with me. Is that something when you say, so we're talking about tapping into that genius, Mitchell, so figuring out those great things that you want to share, and how do you identify that within you? And then where do you share it and with whom, right?
So I want to say yes to everything, but I'll put caveats because some of those words can have multiple meanings to different people.
Okay.
And so probably the thing to be thinking about, and this is probably step one in anything you do in, you could say in life, but let's just focus on business. Anything you do in business, if you have a talent, you have a skill, you have an expertise, and someone else will pay you for that expertise, well, what you've been able to do is solve a problem for them. So the way to think about it, whether it's I'm trying to think as I'm walking around and I have a kink in my neck. So whether or not I have a kink in my neck and I need to go to get a massage or I need to go to a chiropractor, right? There's somebody that can solve the problem, hopefully relieve the kink in my neck. If it's social media, right? Let's say you're good at social media or particularly good at LinkedIn and you help create LinkedIn profiles or you help share people's content on Twitter. Well, you're solving a problem. The problem may be either the person that doesn't have content or they don't have to write a profile or whatever in the physical world. You know, if you run a laundromat, you're helping people clean their clothes. So the way to think about it is, and this is what's nice about today's world, you could take your expertise and you could do so many different things. And as long as you're doing something that is valued by the person who receives it, you will be able to charge them money to solve their problem, basically to relieve a pain point they have. And that's really the focus when I talk to somebody, is what is the problem you solve for somebody? What is the pain point you're relieving? Does that make sense?
It does. It really does. To me, it also sounds like that helps you. It defines purpose, right, in what you're doing every day. I think a lot of people in business and in career, just working every day, it takes us so long to figure out what are we really experts at and where should we be going. Is every job that we have in alignment with that purpose? And most times that answer is just not there because we don't even know where we want to be. I promise it took in life. During the day, I'm a project manager, and it took me years to come full circle all the way back to see everything aligned to bring me back to that point. And that's to identify what it is that you're very strong at, something that you're really great at doing and that people trust your information. That is why this term, thought leadership, to me, is so important to be shared, because people just see it as it can be applied in not just business, but also in personal. And that's how I look at being a PM. It's not just business. I have to be able to manage everything. There's a timeline to things, but also an order of things. So tell us more about the thought leadership and how, when does one really know that their expertise or their voice is being valued, right?
So it's a great question. So you're two or three questions there, so I'll start with.
Yeah, you picked the best one. Let's move into thought leadership, and I'll leave you the extra one for another time.
Well, the last question you asked is, when does somebody know they have value? And the answer is when they'll either be listened to or paid for what they're talking about, mm-hmm. or their what they say will be reacted upon. So let's just talk. We'll go basic thought leadership. When you're young, or if you have a kid today and that kid is sick, who is their thought leader? Who is their expert, their recognized expert to solve their problem? A mom or dad, because that's the world they live in, right? So if you're a project manager, like you are, then the question is, what do you spend your expertise on? What are you good at? What do you value with, right? There are ways you can get a project done and make everyone mad, or piss everyone off, but you reach the goal. Or there's ways to do project management where you could do it with heart, and you could integrate people who are from different lifestyles, different formations, different parts of the world, different ways of interacting. They all have different ways to recognize success. So if I step back and say, what is a thought leader? I'll give you a couple of things. I actually did a TED Talk, which is called Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader. And so you could just Google Mitchell Levy TED Talk, and you could watch that. What I may also encourage you to do, I have a consulting website called thinkaha.com.
And yes, you do. I can't wait to share this with the leaders. Yeah.
Oh, I got a ton of websites. So the one I'm really focused on is Aha That. But But if you go to thinkaha.com, there's a tab called Thought Leadership. And the way I think about thought leadership is a basic 2x2. It's really audience by content. So if you have no audience, so nobody's paying attention to you, and you have no content, essentially you're unknown. If you have a relatively large audience, but your content is very narrow, I'd call you an evangelist. And the problem with being an evangelist, in the old days, evangelism was fine, but in nowadays in business, evangelists don't appear to take everyone's side into consideration. So evangelists do not seem like they're authentic, and if you're not authentic, you can't be trusted. And if you're not trusted, people don't want to pay attention to you. So let's move to the lower right-hand side of the quadrant, and let's talk about you have a large amount of content, but a very small audience. Well, that's your expert. That is anyone who's in business, who makes money today, is an expert. I know that's a broad statement to say. If you're in business, you make money, people pay you to do something, you have expertise, i.e. what people pay you to do. So the goal of thought leadership, and what I want to do is use the term recognized expert to be synonymous with the term thought leader. So the goal with reaching the thought leader status is that you not only have a good amount of content, i.e. you're not only an expert, but you become the recognized expert. So you have the audience that's appropriate for what you want to reach. So the person with the right audience and the right content is the thought leader, or if you'd rather hear the word recognized expert, right? When somebody has a problem and they need a new project manager, and they know of you, they'll talk to you. And that means you're the expert. Right? You're somebody who they want to bring on board. How did that work out? Uh-oh. I think I may have lost her. So let me talk for a couple of minutes. Feel free, if you're hearing me, I'm not hearing you. So if you're hearing me, feel free to interrupt anytime. So the important part is to focus in on who you need to reach. So a lot of times people think or say they have a skill set, and then they feel like they could share that skill set with the world. Well, unless your audience is the world and you have the money to support the world and all of those things in place, let's be more realistic about the audience you're going after. And so let's define the audience to be appropriate for the resources that you have available. And so what I often say, and I'll put my double fingers in the air, we need to share the right amount of content with the right audience. And oftentimes people say, hey, I've got this access to the internet. I could speak to the world. And then they just shout to the internet, hey, here I am, come visit me. And they shout that to the world, they're not focused on talking to anyone in particular. They're not there and solving anyone's particular point of view. And ultimately, no one is going to hear them because they're not speaking to the audience that they need to speak to. So thought leadership and being the recognized expert is sharing the right content with the right audience. Are you back yet? Hopefully. I'm still out here. And let's see. Yep, it looks like the phone is still on and connected. I don't hear our host on the other side. So let me ask a couple questions and follow through. And in about 10 minutes, if I don't hear anyone back, I will I'll end the call. So the interesting part is if people are paying you and you're in business today, you're an expert, and the question is how do you allow more people? How do you get more people to know you? And this is really when I did the TED Talk, and that's you could either Google Mitchell Levy TED Talk or go to aha.pub, aha.pub/TED Talk. What I did is what I say is that we do business with those that we know, like, and trust, which is really what we do. And so the like and trust part, that's you, right? I talk about in the TED Talk, what do you do to encourage people to like you? And mostly what's involved there is to be nice and to listen and interact and be more of a servant leader. We talk about trust, and typically people trust you if you show authenticity, you show integrity, you show vulnerability, and not just show it and pretend to show it, but actually be it and live it. And on the known part, it's really how do more people get to know you? Well, social media is a piece of that, and I cover that quickly in the TED Talk, but it's also you immediately, if you have 7 seconds to capture somebody's attention, how do you do that? Well, what I often say, and I did the TED Talk called Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader. I also have a book that complements that. And what I often say is, if I'm in a room, Mitchell Levy, this is my introduction. It'll be like 7 to 10 seconds. Mitchell Levy, I'm the aha guy from Aha That. I empower experts and thought leaders to share their genius. And I have an international best-selling book and a TED Talk called Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader. So the point to take away from that statement is the fact that I just need to mention the title of the book, that if there's somebody in the audience who wants to be seen and be heard or wants to be that thought leader, they're going to hear that title. They'll hear I did a TED Talk on that area, and they'll instantly have a little bit more trust in the getting known. I'll break that barrier of being known to them. And so, to me, one of the best things you could do in business is write a book that, and whether or not you write it yourself or rewrite it for you, have a book that covers the expertise that you deliver. In essence, what is the pain point you solve for your prospect? What is the pain point you solve for those that pay you money or those that you want to pay you money as a business person? And so it's a very interesting thought process. So what I'll suggest you do, there's a couple of things. Have a website, ahathat.com. So ahathat.com. And at Aha That, we have content. That website is free to use, free to share. We have 45,000 pieces of aha messages that you can easily share on social media. Specifically, we have buttons that you can click on for Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+. So if you're just looking for content to share, you don't know where to start, go to ahathat.com and search on content, and you could find the content you want to share that's already prepackaged. And the cool part is every author in the Aha That platform, every particular message gives attribution to that author. So when you share somebody else's content, you're actually increasing your network and you're increasing their knowledge. And you're increasing it with a piece of content that you like, but you're also sharing somebody else's content, because that's one of the important parts about thought leadership. And that is 100% of content you share doesn't have to be originated from you. As a matter of fact, I'd say 80% of what you share should be somebody else's. So it just means that you're more familiar with the world. You've seen what's going on. You understand your marketplace. And you're sharing content that you think your audience would find fascinating. And so you can go to ahathat.com to just share content. Once again, free to use, free to share. If you're interested in writing your book, oh, you disappeared for a little bit. I assume we were still on the air, but you lost connectivity.
You were. I thank you so much. No, I have a pro here who just saved everything. Network issues, they just went in and out on me. So thank you. Continue on. I was listening from the laptop.
Nope. No problem. So I actually have one other point to make, and then I was going to say goodbye.
Oh,
so
sure.
I'm so happy you're back. And then you could ask a question, because monologues are always never enough fun. So if you're interested in writing a book, or let's just say you just don't have the time, here's where I've taken the genius that I've had, figured out what the world is of tomorrow. And
yes.
What we'll do is I will interview you for 2 hours. I'll pull the genius out of your head. And I've got a team of ghostwriters that I've sent through writing school, and they will actually write a book that's comprised of 140 aha messages and 7 blog posts. We then will take that book and format it and distribute it everywhere in hardcover, paperback, PDF, Kindle, and also on the AHA That platform. We deliver copies of the paperback and hardcover book. And so what's interesting is you don't need to spend, or let me be really rude to some people, you don't need to waste your time writing a book or waste your time publishing a book when there's somebody else that could do that for you, and you could spend the time that you need to spend in the most valuable way, and that's talking to the prospects who are interested in doing business with you. Because whether or not you're the CEO of a large company or the CEO of your own business, the person who's going to bring customers into your business is you. You're the primary rainmaker. And so your job is to sell. And sell is not a bad four-letter word. Sell is actually the most beautiful thing you do, because what you're doing is you're convincing other people that you're going to make their life better by solving their pain with what you do. And that's what selling is all about.
Oh, yeah. That is great. People, if you're listening, I know you are, you know, take from that and remember that someone needs your knowledge. And I always tell you, invest in yourself. You must do that. Do the research and find out what it will take for you to make that next step. So do not hesitate. Do visit, is that Think AHA?
So that one is ahathat.com. And then the author page is ahathat.com/author.
Okay. So everybody also, and I'm going to, if you are subscribed to universaldeep.com, you will be getting a snapshot of today's show with Mitchell's information in it. So you do have until the end of today to hop on over and subscribe with us. So I know we had cut out for a minute, Mitchell, but the social media.
Was it 4 minutes? It seemed like eternity.
I know, right? I know it was 4 minutes, were like 40 to me. Like, oh, geez. But I don't know if you had touched on in that brief 4 minutes, right? Managing the social media content. How in the world can you do that? I know Hootsuite exists. I understand we have these wonderful tools available. You know, when you mentioned the 8 hours to write a book, I'm like, okay, yeah. And then some people don't feel you can't write a book. You know, hey, get Dragon, get an app. But it's much more deeper if you are an expert in an area. I definitely see the benefit in a ghostwriter, a team, to help bring that to fruition. But this management of social media, which can suck your entire life dry because it's so massive, how can you do that in 5 minutes a day?
So one piece that I mentioned when you were off air is when we're sharing content on social media, what people often think about is as their thought leader, as their social media presence, that they need to create and originate all the content themselves. And typically 80% of what you share should be somebody else's. So the really cool part is I have 45,000 AHA messages you could share today for free that out the AHA That platform. So that's one way to do it. And then what I'll say is, let me present a way in which you should be thinking about social media, because what happens is, so this is, think about doing social media in 5 minutes a day. So I'm going to tell you how to do that. But whether it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes, I'm going to give you a rule set, a way to think about how to do it in a different way. So here's something to think about. If you're sitting in an office, or even if you're sitting at home, and somebody brings you a cup of coffee or a glass of water, or you sent something to the printer, they were there, they picked it up, and they brought it to your desk. What do you say?
Thank you.
Oh, that was the interactive part. Thank you, exactly. So what happens if somebody brings you water, coffee, or your print out every day, and for 3 days in a row you never thank them, you never look up, you never acknowledge their presence? They're going to stop doing it.
Exactly.
So how come on social media, when somebody likes our stuff, shares our stuff, loves us, how can we ignore them? And
right.
we do. So here's mm-hmm. what I suggest. Wake up in the morning and spend 1 minute. So that's 20% of your time sharing content. So it could be something you saw the previous day. It could be an article you read. It could be a handful of AHA messages that you find on AHA that. It's a particular author. You share that on your social, whatever it is. So spend a minute and share some content. Then go away. Then come back a couple hours later or in the afternoon and spend 80% of your time, i.e. 4 minutes, touching the people who touch your content. So if somebody liked it or shared it or responded to it, well, you should say, hey, thanks for the like or thanks for sharing. Or if they responded to it, then respond to their response. And that's really the thing to be thinking about. Social media is two words. You know, it's the word social and the word media. And we just happen to think about when we've been given this luxury of a microphone and this luxury of a video camera that we can actually record anything we want, either in audio or video or both format. Most people say, hey, I have a microphone. Let me shout. And what am I going to say? Hey, I'm going to say, look at me. I'm the expert. You should buy from me, hire me, right? And that's not how the internet works. That's actually not how life works. That's not how people want to do business with other people. So what we want to do is show that you care about other people, share content they're particularly interested, and thank them for interacting with you. And over time, what will happen is focus not on the media part, but focus on the social part. And I'm not saying go to parties and talk about silly stuff. I mean, if you're in business and you want to stay focused and you spend 5 minutes a day, 1 minute sharing content, 4 minutes just touching the people that touch your content, you'll see after a couple of weeks that you've strengthened the relationship with a handful of people or more. You know, and depending on your business, that may be more than enough. Or it's certainly a great start.
Definitely a wonderful takeaway when you're thinking content strategy, right? That's the reason to get in front of the ball, to think about what it is ahead of time, if possible, what you can share that week or two, if you're that prepared. And then also, you know, those moments, like you said, you can reshare other information. Just like I'm one who, when life happens and those the current events or something is happening in that day that just shakes everyone, you could, you know, the reposting, the regramming and all of that in a small caption. You're so right that it doesn't have to be overwhelming when you think about your brand. And even in general, it could be a simple caption. So that I'm all for taking the stress out of everything that we can, you know, we can do. Let's work smarter, not harder. And being a thought leader and just in general in life, I think we don't give enough attention to people take this word image the wrong way. I use image a lot, but they rather use brand. For me, sometimes they're synonymous. It's offensive to some people, not sure why, but we should really care about what we're sharing via the internet because I believe it identifies you, right? And it's going to always be there. Do you agree with that in any way?
Oh, my God. Well, think about what was the movie? My brain is killing me, but one of the hugest grossing sequels of movies that is now recently out, the director tweeted something. He tweeted jokes that were off-color jokes in probably 6-7 years ago, and he subsequently decided he didn't want them. He deleted them, and the Disney is the company he's working for, and they basically fired him on the spot once it was uncovered. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you post something, what you have to recognize that, and when you're sharing content, you have to recognize that this is you. This is your image. This is your brand. if you ask me a question about politics, if we were not being recorded, I'd give you a really strong answer. But if I'm recorded, you will not hear anything from me on politics because it is not my brand. It is not my image to talk about politics. It is. There are so many things that I will talk about, and I love interactive conversation where we just cover any possible topic. But what you have to think about is if someone, one of your clients or one of your prospects, hears you talking about this particular area, is that going to be something that they will say, oh, I'm not interested in doing business with that person? Now, there are definitely things that you could be super strong for and you can care about and you can decide to spend money on. The question you have to ask yourself is, it a public statement that you want to make on a particular area? Is it your brand? Is it your image? Is it appropriate for you to do? And, you know, so I know where my boundaries are, what I can and can't say. Politics is an easy one because that's always so polarizing when you talk about that. But there are many other things as well. And so when it gets close, like when somebody has something that's really on the borderline, so if an author comes to me with a book that isn't quite perfect, then I'll talk about, well, how do we make it something that fits your brand and my brand? If not, we got to shake hands. Right. And notice what I said. I am willing to shake hands with an author if, A, I can't help them because they're doing something that isn't going to help them be successful, or B, doesn't fit with my brand. And I don't have to do that very often, but I will do it without blinking an eye because it's the right thing to do.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mitchell. You know, sometimes it just helps to hear it from someone else because they just take it differently. It's like raising kids. If your child hears the mom or the dad give a directive or, you know, an explanation, but someone else passing in the street shares the same info, oh, my gosh, I just learned something today. I don't care how you receive it, people, as long as you get it, okay? Please think about your brand. It's not just that. If you have a business, you don't even know where you're going to end up in life. Later on, you may decide to start a business. And people are going to be able to research you and decide where they want to invest their coins and their time if they want to be associated with. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Please.
So, oh, my goodness.
And I'm happy to say I have a 20-year-old who is not me. If you end up looking at his Facebook wall, everything on his wall for his entire life, he's posted one or two times. All the rest of the posts are mine, right?
Yeah,
and if I'm posting something that has a picture, I also ask permission because he's very cautious that way about making sure we don't do something that's off-brand for him. And I can't even tell you how proud I am. Now, the racy stuff, he'll do it on Instagram because it goes away. That's kind of interesting, right?
So
I'm happy to say that there are people who are growing up in today's world who actually get that, who actually understand. And I, by the way, also agree, think of it as marketing as opposed to anything else. Sometimes people need to hear things multiple times, and it may not just be the person who's saying it. It's just the fact that you've prepped the audience for that. When somebody else comes in and they say it in a slightly different way, that's when it resonates.
Yeah.
Right? And so when you communicate, and I use the word communicate very broadly, there are many different ways to do it, and you have to be able to appeal to people who process information in different ways. Some people are oral people and process things in language. Some people are visual people. They need to see graphics. Some people are kinesthetic, in which case you've got to share a story that hits the heart, right? So you've got to recognize when you talk to people, even when you're in front of a room, when you have more than two people in the room, both people are going to process information in a different way. You've got to be able to touch the types of ways that they may receive that information.
Right, right. Oh, gosh. That is so true. So true. So I have one last question for you, Mitchell, and it's something I know you can answer easily. For the listeners and for myself, it's just always enlightening for me to hear someone else's story. When you are such an inspiration and someone who helps so many other people and knew how to take that expertise that you had and make it purposeful for others, it's definitely profitable, I'm sure. But to get to the core of it, at what point did you know that I am doing what I'm great at, that it, when you speak, it has so much passion, so, and it serves such a great purpose. So what was that moment for you? And the side question to that, what's that sign that you're on the right track?
Once again, I love your questions. So
I made sure I understood.
Here.
You know, there's another part to it.
Oh, go ahead. Keep going. So here's the interesting part. It's a very standard question to ask somebody, when was your vision? When did you see? What was that one thing that happened? And what I'd like to say is there isn't a one thing. There are many things. And every day we have opportunities. Presents come to us every day. Presence being somebody talks to us in a new way, whether it's a sermon from the stage or whether it's something we read or it could be a conversation we have while we're waiting in the grocery store, right? We have an opportunity to receive presence every day, and most people don't have their – they have their don't receive present filter on, right? They don't actually – they're not actually open. So part of what I do, an aha message in the old days, 20 years ago, my goal was to help people turn their light on, right? So that's why I say, hey, if you turn your light on, you actually got it. Well, and at that point in time, I thought maybe that lightning bolt struck like once every couple of years. Today, what I'm thinking is we have aha moments many, many, many multiple times during the day. And so when I realized that I had something, now remember, I don't know if I had the right thing. When I realized I had something is when people would ask questions and then they'd stick around and listen to the answer and they want to hire me to support them, whether it's a consultant or whatever different task that I did. And what I have to say, one of my hugest transformational components was just recently, and that is, at the end of 2016, I did a Kickstarter, and we hit 250% of goal. And as part of that, 20 people paid me that when they write their AHA books, and we have a three-step writing process, it takes 8 hours to write an AHA book. So 20 people paid me that when they wrote their AHA books, that we would publish. So the end of 2017 came, and two amazing things happened. One is I actually did the TED Talk, and that really has transformed many things for me, from the ability to focus on that topic and be able to communicate and fine-tune my messaging in a way that is really easy to resonate with many people. So that was amazing, but something else happened. At the end of 2017, 1 year after the Kickstarter, I was able to see how many people wrote their book. And here's the scary part. Only 3 of the 20 people, only 15% of the people who paid me actually wrote their book. And remember, the book would only take 8 hours to write. So let me put this another way. 85% of the people, or 17 people, couldn't find 8 hours in a 12-month period to do something they paid for that would benefit them.
Wow.
And that was a wake-up call for me. The wake-up call on that was I was serving the wrong audience. Because as a publisher, the audience that I served since 2005, and we've published over 800 books, is the audience that when somebody writes a book, we would publish it. Well, when I thought about it, now this is my follow-up aha message to serving the wrong audience. When I thought about what publishers do, as soon as I say this, you're going to go, oh my God, that sounds stupid. So we hope that somebody writes a book. We hope that if they write a book, they find our publishing firm, and we hope that if they find our firm, they choose us versus the competitors. Well, that's a whole lot of hope. Mm-hmm. So that's when, and it's really been since 2018 that I've focused on the audience. Listen, if you're in business today and you're making money, we can make a whole lot more money together, or you can make a whole lot more money together by getting yourself out there and more recognized as the expert and using tools like a book to do that. And so come to me and we will do the done-for-you solution. And so my prices are higher. The audience I'm talking to is a different quality audience because I'm not sitting there waiting for them to get done. They're already in business today doing their stuff, and I'm just empowering them to do more. And so as I go through this year, I keep reveling in the fact that, wow, so I really like this audience. What else can I give them? What else can I do? How else can I transform? And I'm constantly trying to reinvent myself and add more services to that, because honestly, at the end of the day, it's not about having a book in your hand. It's about having a book in your hand that gets in the hand of, actually not your hand, but gets in the hands of your prospects, and they actually become customers. And that's what I'm working feverishly on, is finding partners who will work with me to help solve our client issues even further. And that is not just having a book, but also having more customers.
This is amazing. I just want to say thank you, Mitchell. Thank you, and thank you again. One, thank you for joining the show. Thank you for that. And then thank you for your patience with the connectivity issues. And then thank you again.
You know, technology,
sharing such
stuff
gems.
Always breaks. You're welcome.
But no one missed me. Who says that? Who doesn't miss their host? But with that being said,
well, I missed you, but I just kept talking. I'm glad you came back.
And I loved it. See, if I hadn't said anything, no one would have known I was gone. But it's okay. I just had to thank you for that. I really, really appreciate it. So, everyone, if you're tuning in, again, this is Mitchell Levy, and I'm going to be sharing his contact information. But please, hop over and get some more knowledge. I mean, this, you must invest in yourself. And if you don't do the research and learn what it is that you need to get you where you need to go, you will not get there. So it starts with the vision. It's all in your head. Keep your thoughts positive. We're going to go ahead and get ready and close things out. Is there one last message that you want to share with the audience, Mitchell, before we go?
I absolutely love your messages, and everything you said is so in sync. So do me a favor, or do yourself a favor, watch my TED Talk. That'll give you some inspiration. And
okay,
the other thing to think through is, and you just Google Mitchell Levy TED Talk and it'll pop up. It's on YouTube. And then the other thing to think about is, I've gone through life with one mentor and two mentees. And so I'm constantly rotating the mentees as they receive what they, the gifts they need, and constantly looking for new mentors. And it's a really, no matter where you are in life, you could always learn from somebody else. And by the way, as a mentor, you also learn from your mentee. So that'd be a piece of wisdom I'd have you think about.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Mitchell. Thank you, Mitchell. All right, everyone, this is Q Speaks, and we have special guest Mitchell Levy on this week. Remember, it is all in your head. Now you know about thought leadership and how to apply that to your business and also take that to your life. Do the research. You're worth it. All right, guys, until next Saturday here on Blog Talk Radio, it's your host, Q Speaks. Thank you. Peace, love, and empowerment. Mitchell, we will talk super soon.
I look forward to it. Take care. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.